The Web Talk Guys radio show is connecting. During the next hour, the Web Guys will launch you into the future of the internet with hot insider tips from tech execs right from the front lines. The audio download begins now.
Welcome to the Web Talk Guys radio show. This is the place to listen to the internet's future. My name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm the net addict of the group.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Pat Scanlon, and I'm the guy who sounds like Dr. Demento. And if you want to know what that means, you got to stick around the entire hour.
Hey, that came directly from a listener.
That's true.
I'm Web Girl Dana, and I'm your womanly sidekick. I'm here to tone down that testosterone that's flying around the room with these web guys. Thanks for including us into your life, whether you're listening on CNET or XM or CNET Radio or WebTalkGuys.com. Anywhere you're listening to us, we're just glad you're there.
This week, we're devoting the whole show to how we use the web to research things before we buy. And the internet is a big, not so old comparison shopping database. Boy, that was a mouthful.
That's easy for you to say, Rob.
But you have to be cautious when you're shopping online because you can get stung out there.
Oh, yeah, you can. And I know anytime money is involved, I want to be sure I'm getting the right thing, the right deal, everything is good. And, you know, right now I'm looking for an espresso maker. I want to do it. I don't want to.
Just what you need, more caffeine.
No more for Starbucks, because I want to do it myself. And I really love the shopping online because you save a lot of money. And I just mean a buck here, a buck there, no sales tax or free shipping. I'm talking about the actual product is less. And there's a way to compare prices online. But I don't want to just compare the good and the bad espresso makers. I want to compare the good and the bad of all the espresso maker brands, you know? So it's really simple how you do that. The internet lets you research as many possible purchases to this absurd degree.
There's a jungle out there comparison shopping.
I don't care what you guys say. In the old days, you know, way back when.
Back when you were born.
Yeah, well, back when I started using the net, way when whatever that was, we used to use this old-fashioned thing called personal referral via this old-fashioned kind of a thing called a news group.
Holy what smokes. That's an old-fashioned thing. Was that 5 years old?
What can I say? Yeah, well, you know, dog years and all, you know. Anyway, it seemed like only a matter of months before this online shopping advice on newsgroups became shopping guidance websites. And isn't that just lovely?
We're going to bat around a few ideas on the subject of shopping online. And for a good part of the show, we're going to have a conversation with a godfather of reliable product testing.
Sorry, Rob, is that godfather or grandfather?
It'd be godfather or grandfather. Yeah. It's been around a long time. And this company is Consumer Reports, They've been around a long time protecting us from bad products out there and bad services. And we're going to be joined by John Satea, who's the VP of Multimedia Publishing.
Why is it I get the feeling this man's going to come on and say, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse?
Not the godfather.
John is the Vice President of Multimedia Publishing at Consumer Union, which is the mothership of ConsumerReports.org. Which is a huge online property.
Well, before we get to John and Consumer Reports, we probably want to give out some ideas of things that we've discovered on the web to help you make some decisions on products you're going to buy, like espresso makers. Mm-hmm. What kind of things have you found, Rob? Because I have a lot to share.
Well, there's many price comparison websites out there, and no one person really can afford to spend all their time going around price comparing out there. So there's some online resources that can help do that. And they're termed bots, or short for robots, that are out there scouring the internet looking for the best deal.
The shopping bot,
yes.
So there was several of them out there, like at the beginning, PriceWatch.com. I think they're still around. Mm-hmm. PriceScan. There was something called Computer ESP, but they merged into Shopper.com, which merged into, CNET Shopper, right?
Well, and MySimon.
MySimon is also,
out there.
Those guys get my award for stupidest television commercial. That television commercial with that stupid 3D guy annoys the crap out of me.
Hey, this show reminds me a lot of the search engine show that we did here, where you had all these companies that were all sharing technology across the board.
Oh, they were all having sex with their sister,
yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I think it's happening in the shopping bot area,
and
too.
It's not just the search engine. It's the shop engine. See, that's what you should call them, is shop engines.
Shop engine.
Hey, all these search engine robots, intelligent agents out there are all, you know, having things with each other, you know, online. You know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of having things with each other, there's the version of sort of product reviews, this peer-to-peer, is one type of thing.
Right.
That's where you just get the real, like you were talking about, Pat, at the beginning, like mm-hmm. news groups and stuff. You get like the real average Joe.
Real honest-to-God people telling you, yes, I like this or no, I don't.
Although, you know, they may be a little biased too, but at least they don't have any money at stake, probably.
But peer-to-peer comparison shopping, is that what this is?
Yeah.
So I tell you...
That's personal referral in the old...
Specific, I mean, separately from anybody else, what I think about a product, right?
Sure.
Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot like Napster. I mean, is there going to be some things fall out from that?
No, because there's no copyright being
there's
reached
There's no copyright.
There,
well, yeah. there's defamation, isn't there?
No.
You probably have to worry about that.
Yeah, not in this country, but if you're in Australia or you're in a foreign country, you could be in trouble.
You could be.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, I got to interrupt you for a second. Hold on to that thought because we'll come back in a minute and tell you about some great shopping comparison sites and the Average Joe sites that will tell you what products are good.
This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Eavesdrop. Listen to the Web Talk Guys.
You're back and connected with Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee, and Web Girl Dana's here, and Pat Scanlon. Hey, sign up for our email list at webtalkguys.com. You can get all sorts of information about the upcoming shows with the Web Talk Guys. Hey, we're trying to be careful consumers today, and we're going to go deep into the world of how we use the web to research things before we buy. And well, let's jump into it. What are the top five shopping sites?
No great guesses for number one, I wouldn't think. At 44,212 million unique visitors.
That's just for November 2001.
Yep. Yep. So who was it anyway?
Amazon.com.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
You know,
right.
Those little guys up in Seattle
that are
up on the hill.
Hooray, Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Hey, didn't they recently announce Profit? Quarter with profit.
Profit.
That note here too myself. It's these profitable quarters. All right. They said it would never happen, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They waited till I left. I worked there, and you know, they were losing money all the time.
They were paying you too much. I think
that's it.
That's what it was.
I think
it was
all that Amazon
mahogany furniture. I think you ordered, but let's not go there. Yeah.
Number two, the ever-present Columbia House. I have to say that's the second most popular shopping site.
I think they have a lot of CDs being purchased there.
Well, basically, they come to you whether you want them or not.
That's right. They just send them to you, and then they send you a bill. That's all there is.
Now, number three, I have to admit, I had never heard of. Okay, so if you're out there and you know who these people are, because obviously we're not going to take the time to serve to these people because we don't really know who they are. But anyway, they are redeemmygifts.com, and they had 10 million visitors.
That's right.
11
million. In 1 month. Yeah.
And that's two M's in that. It's not just
redeem
one.
Right.
My
yeah. And it's easily misspelled. I'm surprised that it made it that high with that kind of website domain name. And the fourth one on the list is dealtime.com at about 8.4 million visitors. Which isn't surprising.
Number five being BestBuy.com, which is just opening up here in the Northwest where we are situated.
That's right.
Up here in the Great Northwest.
And they've done a lot of television advertising as well as advertising inserts. I think that's what's driving a lot of that.
Mm. But you guys, have you ever heard of the Web of Trust?
The Web of Trust?
The Web of Trust. It sounds like a movie or something. But what that is sort of the credo at epinions.com. And I just wanted to touch on that great site because I actually look there a lot for whether a software thing is good or my espresso maker is good.
Right.
Epinions is just a bunch of people with about 1 million reviews on all kinds of things. That's where you do that peer-to-peer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
1 million reviews and comments and product recommendations. Pretty amazing.
What are some real good online shopping comparison sites where you can like type in front page 2002 and come up with all different prices? Rob, do you have any that you use a lot?
Well, there is one called Next Tag, and it's a search engine for shoppers online. And you can quickly find prices on millions of products sold by online stores and small businesses, as well as individuals, believe it or not, I'm not quite sure how they do that.
I've got one.
Pat's got his hand up. Pat's got his hand up. Okay.
Shopper.cnet.com.
Hey.
Oh, sorry.
Just big a star.
Boy, you know
plug,
that well.
Suck up. What can I say?
Hey, and My Simon, we got to mention My Simon. They've got a virtual agent. You know, we've talked about, you know, that whole agent thing.
Yeah, he's a stupid 3D guy that walks around parties being idiot.
And he's very intelligent.
He's an idiot.
Well, it's the number one shopping comparison site, so we do have to give it
Well, of course, you spend that much money on television advertising, you're going to be.
That's right.
P.T. Barnum said, you know, no money was ever lost on underestimating the intelligence of the American public, and you could say underestimating the intelligence of the American television viewing public.
Those people are very intelligent.
No, that's why we're on radio, because that's where real intelligent people hang out.
It's not just products that you can compare. You can compare the actual e-tailers or retailers, too, you know, whether they're reputable or not. So you've heard of the Better Business Bureau. Well, there's another one called BizRate.com. You've probably seen that little seal of approval on websites.
Well, this is the sites that rank.
That's one way to put it.
Rank or rate?
Sorry, it's up to you. It's entirely you.
And actually, it'll be customers that'll tell you whether the store is good, the store is bad, whether they've had problems with it. So that's kind of worth checking out to protect yourself.
And DealTime.com is one of the leading search engines around shopping. It's the fourth largest shopping site on the web.
We ought to go with Dana's term, shop engines. I like that.
Shop engines?
You heard it here first. Dana said it. They're shop engines.
One of the downsides, though, of these is that they don't always show you consistently all the low prices. And I wonder why they do that or not do that.
It's probably not quite an intelligent agent.
I mean, it should have the lowest prices right at the top and presents those, you know, in numerical order, but you have to still hunt for those. So,
you know, it's kind of a bizarre twist on all this is that you go to places like ePinions or Amazon has their customer reviews. Anytime you have a person who is not a professional expert reviewer reviewing an item, then you can rate that reviewer. You can basically rate the review. So not only are you rating the product, you're rating the reviewer of the product, and then that person can rate your review of that review of the product. You know what I mean?
It's like standing in between two mirrors, you know? They just go on and on.
Did we forget anything here, guys?
Probably.
I'm sure there's a lot of other shopping sites that we left out.
You guys can let us know.
We're going to have up links to all of the sites that we did talk about up on the site at the TURL link off of our front page. So if you want to go check out any of them, go and get it.
And do email us if you've discovered there's anything we left off that you think is really cool. And we'll talk about it next week.
Email us if you really like the term shop engines.
Yeah. And send it to me at rob@webtalkguys.com. But we're nowhere finished around the bend. We're going to talk about some sites that cause our hearts to flutter.
Oh, be still, my heart. Oh.
You're listening to Web Talk Guys.
We are actually back. You are listening to the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and I've got Pat Scanlon in here and Web Girl Dana, and we're just having a great time here.
Well, you usually spend a few minutes sharing some cool websites that we visited during the week. This is no exception. We've all been surfing around, and if you guys hear something you want to go check out later and you're driving in your car and you can't, just go to our website at webtalkguys.com, and any links that we talk about right now, we'll have up on the site.
Got a fast new server that's serving the website right now. Just launched here this week.
Yeah, no more waiting at WebTalk Guys. Hey,
that's
Rob.
That's right.
What site did you find this week?
I found a site that kind of falls a little bit along with our shopping comparison things, but it takes it from the customer side, and it's a site called planetfeedback.com, and it's the nation's largest customer feedback site. Planet Feedback helps customers send feedback quickly and effortlessly and offers technology that enables other companies to better handle customer feedback.
That sounds like a press release, Rob. Oh,
well, what they found, though, is that here over the last few months, actually just during the holiday time, they track customer complaints. And
sounds like my kind of site after all, doesn't it?
What they found was that e-commerce companies didn't do as great a job this year of keeping customers happy and satisfied. They saw a jump of 60% of complaints on e-commerce sites this year. Most people are upset by billing and payment and customer service, delivery, exchanges, returns, all that stuff that you would expect. And the clothing industry also saw a huge increase in complaints this year. And that's just not online. That's offline, too. And the key problems there are clothing quality and durability. And the computer hardware companies saw a 39% increase in complaints. And those were usually related to customer service.
What was that site once again?
It's planetfeedback.com. It's a really nice looking site. You should go check it out.
Well, I have to admit that I've been holding out on both of you.
Oh, I'm so betrayed.
Well, the reality is that I do have a favorite price comparison kind of site.
Oh.
Okay. It's called Half.com.
Oh.
Oh, I like that name.
Have you shopped at Half?
Oh, I've heard of Half before.
It's owned by eBay, so it's an eBay thing. But instead of like eBay where you go on and everybody can bid and you can get 5 cents for something, you go on to Half and you say what price you want. And then you just kind of hang out and wait for it to happen. And then you sell it for the price that you want. Okay. So to give you give you a couple of examples, the day that today when I went there, you had a Dell Latitude CPI notebook for $399. It's a great place for like software though.
$3.99?
No, $399. Give me a break.
Buy it.
Okay. I pulled up one especially for Web Girl Dana, but it's probably more for Rob though. If truth be told, it's the Barbie Pet Rescue CD-ROM.
Hey.
Yeah, and
that'll cost you. Take it easy on the web guy over here, okay?
Well, I'm telling you. Well, it'll only cost you $9.95, but it did have three other comparisons. One for $11.45, one for $13.49, and the most you would have to pay, Rob, is $17.75.
But is that half price?
Close enough.
If they were following the branding of their site, it would be half price.
Such a deal I got for you. For you, $9.99. For everybody else, $10. Get off my case, okay?
Pat, you got some discount watches for me, too?
Yep, lots of things. But okay. I have to be in New York to have those, though. We're only in San Francisco and Boston.
Oh, okay. Well, soon, though.
Well, hang on. Do you know something we don't know? Are you letting something out that CNET's told you?
No, not quite yet.
Press release on Monday.
That's right. We're gonna leak it.
Yeah. I'm bucking the system. I'm not even talking about shopping sites anymore. But I'm talking about the times that you've been in the bar, you know, and you're a little fuzzy.
Oh, never been in a bar.
And you've scribbled down some, or you've heard some genius statement, at least it seemed genius in your haze, and you've scribbled down on a cocktail napkin or your hand or whatever, you know, because I got to remember that for the next party. And you get home, you wash your hands, you know, you scrumple up the napkin. Well, where can you get these pearls of wisdom that probably aren't really pearls, but, you know, in drunken stupors they seem to be? Go to napkin.com.
Great name.
Oh, darn. I was hoping she was going to say napkinbusinessplan.com.
All right. That's where you go to get $36 million. Yeah.
It's the simplest site I've ever seen. I mean, there is nothing but a napkin on the page, a napkin phrase, and a little button where you can click the next one. And that's what you just go through randomly looking at. Great pearls of wisdom like, did you ever realize that you're constantly smelling your nose? You know, just great napkin sayings.
Hey, you were doing so well there. You were like my hero until we got to those two. Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, that's Web Girl.
Are you judging me?
No, I would never judge Web Girl.
Not if you wanted to live, yeah.
Great. We hope that you found that fun and helpful. If you have a favorite website, send us an email at rob@webtalkguys.com. Stay tuned to Web Talk Guys Radio. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee, and across from me sits my fellow geek guy.
Me.
Who's me?
Pat Scanlon.
Pat Scanlon, okay. And
is it past Scanlon, is it?
Past Scanlon.
Pat Scanlon, there we go.
Pat Scanlon, what is
Say
Pat
the name
Scanlon?
Right.
I'm here.
Oh, and Web Girl's here, too. Web we can't Dana. We can't forget Web Girl. We'll get in trouble.
We wouldn't.
We've been talking to you for the past hour, and now we want to listen to you, and we want to hear what you have to say. And we enjoy getting your emails, and we're going to talk about some emails that we got from you. And every week, we put your virtual voice on the air and send us your thoughts at rob@webtalkguys.com, and we'll get it on the air, too. We have two emails to share. One is from a listener who is a bit of advice for us. He's recommending that we wet up our show.
Yeehaw!
And another who thinks of us in more of the dark side, and we'll just let you hear for yourself.
All right, I'm going to read the first one. David from North Carolina wrote, "Hi, I have no idea how I came to this site. I've been listening for an hour, and I will listen more." And then another email a few seconds later. "I'm going to jump off a bridge to listen to this program. You are beyond having a life. This is the most boring program I have ever listened to."
Well, you know what, David? We love you too. All right. Well, first of all, if you're gonna send us a flame, send us a good flame. Send us one that's at least been spell checked, okay? Because I have a suspicion that the first one should have been, I have no idea, right? That's, well, you're just not kidding. You
okay,
have no
calm
idea.
Down, my Pat.
All right, sorry.
My Pat's getting mad now. Sorry. Actually, I wrote back to this guy and I said, hey, we're looking for some constructive criticism, but be kind, okay? Just
well,
not too harsh.
Well, we do thank him for listening for the whole hour already.
Sure.
I mean, that was very brave of him.
All right. So has he repaired himself?
Hi, Web Girl. I do not mind at all if you use my comments on the air. So I checked with him. It's okay. You can't get mad.
That's right.
I'm just a normal, everyday working guy in South Carolina that came across your program while searching for a product for my company. He's surfing and listening to the radio when he's at work.
Yeah.
And I do want to make a point. He hasn't jumped off any bridge yet.
Okay, his review. It was so monotonous, if that is a word. Actually, he said it was so monotonish. That's not a word. By no means.
Not that spell check thing again.
It seems to me that unless you are a computer geek, you would be bored to tears, as I was.
Well, we're all computer geeks.
And then he recommends, he has some good advice. Check out the two Auto Tech Talk guys. I can't think of their names. That would be Click and Clack, the
Auto Tech guy.
Now he says, wet up the program a bit. It's way too dry. Is it like what? We should serve wine? I don't know.
I'm thinking t-shirt myself.
Squirt guns. That's what we should have in here.
Maybe that's it.
I just want to say he does end in a very nice bit of advice. He says, maybe I should talk more.
Oh, sure. So, suck up to the co-host, David.
Thank you for writing, David.
All right. Well, on the darker side of things, I actually found out something about myself that I have to admit is probably true. I didn't, you know, when we got this email, I'm thinking, you know, I seem to remember this radio character from my childhood. And, gee, I wonder if he's still on the air. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'd say he had a big impact on you, too.
Well, evidently, yeah. Because Walter from Santa Rosa, California, sent us an email. And he says, I'm not sure if I'm losing my mind. Well, obviously, you're not, because I'm going to agree with you here. But is Pat Scanlon really the infamous Dr. Demento in A Darker Other Life? And I remember the name Dr. Demento from My Darker Other Life. And so then, of course, I went to the net and I listened to him. And I'm standing there and I turned to Rob, who happened to be standing behind me, and I went, you know what? I do sound like Dr. Demento.
It's you.
It is me.
Hey, we are proud to have Dr. Demento on the show.
Well, I wish I was, because this man's had, it says right on his site, he said he celebrated his 30th anniversary in radio. So, not too bad.
No, that's, I'd say that's great.
Good on you, Dr. Demento.
We should play some really strange and dusty music behind Pat more often.
We are taking Walter's words. He does think he's ready to hear dead puppies playing in the background at some point.
Because must be. There we go. Well, thank you, Walter. And thank you, David, for allowing me to diss you. And just work on that spell check, okay?
Well, what's all fair here, right?
Mm.
I mean, he diss us. We can make fun of him a little bit.
Okay, they love being
we
abused.
Can actually have a wet show that way, right?
Yeah.
It's cool. We can never ask for your feedback enough here, and we welcome your comments on the show. Email us at rob@webtalkguys.com, and we want to hear what bugs you or frustrates you about anything on the internet or actually us. If something bugs you about us, that's okay, too, and we'll get it on the air just like what we did.
If you are going to abuse us, just be kind of kind, you know, or at least don't hurt me.
Well, I tell you what,
all right.
be as kind to us as we've been to you.
Okay. What comes around goes around.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, let's get Consumer Reports on the line and find out what it's like to be the granddaddy as opposed to the godfather of all product testing. We've lined up a conversation with John Satea, who's VP of MP at CR, or for those who are not into alphabet soup, is the Vice President of Multimedia Publishing at ConsumerReports.org.
After the break, you'll find out how a company going strong in the offline land since 1930 has had a huge impact on the online world. So stay tuned to Web Talk Guys Radio. Welcome back. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee and joined by Web Girl Dana.
Hey, Rob. I do a fair amount of shopping online. And the thing is, the problem with that is I can't really touch that product or open it up or give it a test run.
Yeah,
you know?
Shopping online does present that problem.
So I've really come to rely on those customer reviews that a lot of websites offer, like Amazon. I really feel a lot more confident buying something if an unbiased report bestows kudos on a product that has passed their muster.
Well, why don't you go to the grandfather of all reliable product testing? It's a big brand name that we've all heard and used for years to get product information, Consumer Reports.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah. The Yonkers, New York-based consumer rating service and researching organization offers unbiased advice about products and services, personal finance, health, and nutrition. They've been around since, you know, 1930s and have been online since 1997.
Wow.
And they are the largest subscription-based online service on the internet right now.
Amazing. They have the most people subscribing.
Yeah, and we're going to hear all about that.
Great.
Joining the Web Talk guys today is John Satea, who's Vice President of Multimedia Publishing for Consumers Union, which is the owner of ConsumerReports.org. And John, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Why don't you give us a little summary on what you guys do off of your websites specifically? Everybody's probably familiar with Consumer Reports' magazine, but tell us a little bit about the online property.
Well, ConsumerReports.org is one of the, I think, one of the largest and fastest growing subscription-based web businesses, and it was launched in November 1997, and right now we have about 760,000 paid subscribers, which has grown pretty significantly over the past couple of years. And Consumer Reports, as a strong brand, its mission is really to test consumer products, inform consumers, and protect consumers about the products they buy. And we really provide objective, unbiased product ratings and recommendations and advice about these products, and we have no advertising or no commercial relationships, and have really developed a strong brand by becoming a trusted source for consumer product testing and evaluations over the years. And that's really what helped grow Consumer Reports magazine to a subscriber base of over 4 million subscribers. And ConsumerReports.org is really more of a research tool where we have very deep content regarding the products that we rate and provide advice on. So we have significant content on electronics products, appliances, automotive are our three largest sources of product content.
So how does the content differ on your site from your print publication?
The information on the site is, I think it's a little bit more timely. It has more depth of content. We do have ratings for products that cover the last up to 4 years worth of product ratings on the site. So you can actually go in and search for a product and get all the information that you need for the product, and it's also up to date. So we are continually testing products, and even though we publish the magazine once a month, and we may only report on a particular product, you know, periodically throughout the year, the website is always up to date. So we're continually publishing our results and our findings and our updated advice on the website for consumers to access that information.
Hey, John, this is Dana. It's really scary to buy something without that research. So I think I rely heavily on, for instance, Amazon's customer reviews. Hopefully they're unbiased. I read that you guys had joined or partnered with both Amazon and Yahoo to provide them information from your reports. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those partnerships and what you provide there versus how that differs from what you would pay to get from your website?
Well, an important strategy that we have is what we call our content distribution strategy. And that what we do is we work with certain online information providers or online shopping sites such as Yahoo, AOL, DealTime, MySimon, etc. And we provide certain buying advice information telling consumers how to go about buying a particular product and then offer that consumer the ability to purchase a subscription to ConsumerReports.org either on a monthly basis or longer. And in some cases, they can also just buy an individual report. So it's really a way to get our information in front of the consumers, especially where they're actually making their purchasing decisions.
And that actually might account why you have such a phenomenal amount of subscribers, because you're offering that sort of teaser information out there and it drives them back to your site to subscribe.
Yeah, it actually does give us quite a presence on those sites where people are making their shopping decisions and they do see the information. They do see the Consumer Reports name, and we do tell them about what type of reports we do have available. And fortunately, they are interested in buying those reports, and it's worked out quite successfully for us.
What are you finding are the most popular categories online versus your print publication? Is there a difference between the two?
No, I think in general, people still come to rely on us for information regarding autos, So our cars and trucks information is very popular. Our April auto issue is our largest selling, even newsstand selling magazine for Consumer Reports every year. Next to that is really consumer electronics, you know, DVDs, camcorders, TVs, VCRs, et cetera. And then appliances, everything from refrigerators to ranges, vacuum cleaners, things like that. You know, when you're online, you can see exactly how people are responding to your information regularly because you can watch the traffic that goes to those sections of the site.
We're having a conversation with John Satea from ConsumerReports.org. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Eavesdrop. Listen to the Web Talk Guys.
Welcome back. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee and joined by Web Girl Dana. Hey, we're having a conversation with John Satea, who's Vice President of Multimedia Publishing at ConsumerReports.org. So how much growth are you guys seeing in subscribers? Now, I know that you guys are offering a one-month access, and then you're offering a yearly access. What are you seeing as far as the subscribers? Are they jumping in first to just get a sample for a month, and then they subscribe to a year-long subscription, or are they going straight to the year-long subscription?
Well, it varies. The monthly subscription is $3.95, so it's relatively inexpensive to get some pretty high-quality information about products that you're looking to purchase. The annual subscription is $24, so it comes down to about $2 a month. And in talking with some of our customers recently, they really feel that ConsumerReports.org is almost their security blanket. Where if they have an annual subscription, then they just feel that whenever they need information to make an informed purchase decision, that they can go online and get that information. So we offer a variety of options there that people can choose. But we probably have still only about maybe 20-25% of our customers are really monthly subscribers, and we do have quite a, an established base of annual subscribers to the site.
So are you finding that most of your subscribers to your print publication are signing up for the online version?
Well actually, I think in the magazine publishing industry, and I've been involved in the information industry for a while, there's always been a fear that the web would cannibalize the print products and that it would be stealing subscribers from one product to the other, and in fact we found that to be quite the opposite. We're actually attracting quite a different audience to ConsumerReports.org, which is slightly younger, and there's very little overlap among the customers. We probably have maybe 15% of the subscribers to ConsumerReports.org are also subscribers to the magazine.
Yeah, there are just some people that enjoy researching online and don't have the patience to flip through a magazine.
Well, they're really just a completely different experience. When you're looking to make a specific purchase and you're trying to research your information, the web is certainly a handy tool. The magazine is more of a leisurely read, for people that are interested in, a variety of topics that they would find of interest, because we test lots of different products, not just automotive electronics appliances, because we'll have home improvement products or food products or even kind of fun products like testing beer and wine and things like that that people find, high entertainment value with the magazine.
John, you mentioned something at the beginning of the interview that blew me away, and that was how many subscribers you have. I want you to repeat that. And then I read something interesting that when we think of online subscriptions where content is now no longer free on the internet, we think of like Wall Street Journal, New York Times. But tell me about how you guys compare to their subscriber base, which is pretty amazing.
We just passed 760,000 paid subscribers, which we're very happy about.
Yeah, that's terrific.
The growth rate has been phenomenal. We always seem to be in a little bit of a competition about who has the largest paid subscription base. they're very different types of products. I mean, ours is certainly a product research tool as opposed to something like the Wall Street Journal, which is a source for financial news. And in many regards, the content is kind of apples and oranges, but they are paid content sites. We're very happy. I mean, we've developed a unique product over the years. We're original content producers, so we have probably the largest national testing and research center with over 50 laboratories here. We have a 327-acre auto test track. We buy the products that we test. We have no advertising in our business model. And we really produce original content that consumers over the past 60-plus years have come to rely on is really being unbiased information that's really provided to protect them. So I think if you can produce content that's original, it has a unique business model that can help people either make money or save money, then people tend to be willing to pay for that kind of information because, you know, many, many times we have our customers tell us about how much money they save just by making the right choices.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what it's all about.
I would imagine one of the big benefits of the consumerreports.org site is that it's comprehensive. Now, I know that your print publication has a tendency to just focus in on certain categories for each month.
Right.
Is that true? So a person could really get a complete access to your consumer reports on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we just recently had a series of focus groups with our magazine and our online subscribers. And there's quite a loyal base of the magazine subscribers that some people just won't give up their magazine no matter what, even if they want the web as well. It's just a whole different experience for the
sure.
user. And we're also trying to move our content to more of a wireless environment, so that people could have their content available in their PDAs so they can take it with them when they're actually at the point of purchase.
Do you see yourself moving into offering almost like shopping bot type features within the service where you make a request to go find information about a particular item and your service actually goes through and generates a report to the consumer?
Well, we are certainly looking at providing more interactive applications, and we have partnered with other companies to do that where, you know, we'll do an evaluation of cell phones, for example, and cell phone providers and actually link to other sites where you could make other decisions about purchasing, but we always try to make sure that we provide that information in as unbiased way as possible so that it's really up to the consumer what it is that they want to buy and not reflecting any type of commercial recommendation that we're actually making.
Okay. We're having a conversation with John Satea, who's Vice President of Multimedia Publishing at ConsumerReports.org.
I think I can sum up the show for you with one word. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
One world, one web, one show that matters. The Web Talk Guys.
Welcome back. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee and joined by Web Girl Dana. Hey, we're having a conversation with John Satea, who's Vice President of Multimedia Publishing at ConsumerReports.org.
John, there is a fun area of your website that I want you to describe to our listeners, and that was your vintage photo gallery. Tell us about that.
Well, we've been in business for 64 years now, and over the years in our laboratories, we've had many, many interesting tests of products that have been photographed, and you can actually go on the site and see some of these, some of the pictures of some of the tests that we've conducted over the years. And some of them are quite humorous because, you know, we often test things in quite unusual ways, and some people get quite a kick out of that.
And products that never quite launched. I think I was looking at a record player for your car.
Yeah, that's right.
Plus, I also noticed off your site that you guys are starting to get more moving in the direction of being almost like a media company almost. I see you guys have a radio thing that you guys do with radio stations across the country. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we have both Consumer Reports television and radio, and we provide syndicated broadcasts for over 100 TV stations and radio stations across the country where, you know, we provide content on, various topics and become part of the, you know, kind of the consumer reporter section of the of various news programs. And that actually gives us quite a bit of, brand exposure as well. You know, we've actually grown quite well with we are a nonprofit organization, and we've grown quite well with a very limited budget. You know, just having a strong brand name and a strong product and then trying to leverage our relationships, through public relations, the media, and, relationships with now some of these information providers like AOL and Yahoo and online information and shopping providers such as those.
Well, John, you mentioned that you're a nonprofit and that you have a respected name, and there's a reason for that, and that is that you guys are, and I think this is how you differentiate yourselves from other companies out there that provide so-called reviews and research. You don't accept, you mentioned you don't accept any kind of money or paid placement or accept money from companies to have their product tested, and that keeps you unbiased. And but that means you also have to rely on the subscription to basically keep the corporation going and research going. But let's talk about your competitors out there that may not be so unbiased. And I know that I've gone to eOpinions online. And are there others that you can mention? And how do you differentiate yourself from them?
Well, you know, you mentioned one competitor, and you know there are others that do provide information that are based on consumer opinion. And I think there's certainly a value to consumer opinion, but you know we provide our information based on actual research testing in kind of a laboratory setting. But we also conduct probably one of the largest consumer surveys every year, where we get over 500,000 responses to these surveys regarding reliability of products and how people use products, and that type of information is a little bit different than just a consumer review or opinion, in that it's more statistically valid based on very, very large samples. So it takes out a lot of the bias that individuals may have by just providing their opinion. So even when we do provide information that's not research, laboratory testing based, it's information that's statistically valid from a very large sample, as opposed to anecdotal information from an individual.
Terrific, John. Well, thank you for joining us on the show. It was terrific hearing about Consumer Reports and what you guys are doing there.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for having me on the show.
Terrific. We've been speaking with John Satea, who's the Vice President of Multimedia Publishing for the Consumers Union, or consumerreports.org. Take care, John. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
All right, so don't go anywhere, because up next we're going to cover the internet streaming industry and run down some numbers, Rob.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the MeasureCast's weekly report of streaming media companies online.
And also they've come out with their rankings of the top internet streaming stations for the whole of year of 2001. So we'll take a look back and a look forward.
This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
I'll be back.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show. My name is Rob Greenley.
And I'm Web Girl Dana, and this week, the top internet radio stations for 2002 were announced. Since the streaming industry is something near and dear to both of our hearts, right, Rob?
Yes.
We thought we'd share with you who the leaders were.
The top 10 ranking was measured by total time spent listening to stations online, and this was measured by a Portland, Oregon-based company called MeasureCast.com, who provide internet radio broadcasters with next-day streaming audience size and demographics data, and we've got a list of the winners for 2001.
And the winner for most listened to station in 2001 was...
Media Amazing at MediaAmazing.com. And they streamed about 6,394,000 hours of streaming media.
Wow. And
that's amazing, isn't it?
Explain to me actually for a second what that means when how many hours they streamed. That's how many actual hours were listened to, correct?
Yeah, that's how many people actually clicked on a link and listened to it. And it can be multiple people at one time streaming that can add that up. So it can add up pretty fast if you got thousands of people listening at the same time.
Mm. The internet radio industry is really on a roll, and millions of new listeners have tuned in 2001. I guess as broadband use kind of ramps up. And the total time spent listening to stations, which is measured by MeasureCast last year, rose nearly 400%. And it's rapidly closing in on 500%. As of today, it's like 484% from the previous year of 2000. So, Rob, who was number two?
Virgin Radio.
Ooh, can you say that?
It's right.
You have to be a virgin.
You have to be a virgin to listen to this radio station.
That's actually the popular London-based station. It's a real-world station that's been for years and years.
Yeah, and the fascinating thing that's going on here is a lot of these in the top 10 are actual radio stations. So they're basically simulcasting on the internet. Mm-hmm. And but you know, a few months ago, a lot of these, when we gave this report, were internet stations. But I think that was back when there was a lot of banning of streaming on the internet because of, I guess, some battle with on-air talent that
That's right.
wanted to have credit and get paid for doing commercials on the internet.
Fairly back to normal in that.
Yeah, and I think more stations are coming back online. You're starting to see it in the numbers here.
Well, just the difference between Media Amazing, which was number one, had 6,300,000 listener or streamed hours. Virgin Radio had 4 million, so it's several million less. Number three was jazzfm.com. What was number four?
Radio Margaritaville.
Yeehaw, sounds like fun. And then for all you sports fans out there, number five was
ESPNradio.com.
Then there's King FM, which is a Seattle classical music station and one of the very first streaming stations because they were partnered with Real Networks mm-hmm. at the dawn of streaming industry.
And they've got access to a big streaming pipe there with Real Networks. So they've actually been in the top 10 for, I don't know, as long as we've been reading these streaming media reports.
Also, MeasureCast tracked and ranked some of the leading networks of streaming stations, Rob, that were streaming over the internet.
Yeah, and the top network for 2001 was Warp Radio, and that's WARP Radio, a group of about 218 terrestrial radio stations. So people are listening to streaming media everywhere, and I think most of these listening is happening at work. So is anybody working out there? That's the next question.
Exactly. Number two in the networks was cable music, but I liked number six, which was Stream Audio, which is a local to us network.
Yeah, they're based in Tacoma, Washington. They've been doing streaming for a couple of years now, and they had at one point they had about, I think, 770 stations across the country, or terrestrial radio stations that they were simulcasting. They also offer banner advertising against the streams, too, and that's how they pay for the stream. But here recently, they've started charging a certain monthly rate for streaming to radio stations.
So if I owned a radio station, I could approach streamaudio.com mm-hmm. and say, get me online. I don't know anything about it. You guys can handle it.
It's like $300 or $400 a month that okay. they can stream as much as the station wants to, and at the same time, they can display banner advertising against the stream.
Good.
MeasureCast also came out with a streaming media tracking number for the third week in January and basically gave a total time spent listening to streaming on the internet rose basically 1% from last week. So the top 18 of the MeasureCast top 25 stations stream more hours than they did the prior week. I mean, in 1 week to go up 1%, I mean, if you start adding that up, it's going to be a significant increase.
Well, back at the top spot, Virgin Radio. They're actually the top spot for the third week of January. Media Amazing was number two and Jazz FM number three, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting demographics, Rob.
The largest group of listeners to radio online is an age group of about 25 to 34, which is about 28%. And about 57% of listeners were under 35. And about 29% were younger than 25.
69% of listeners were men and 31% were women. Oh, well. And the top streaming nations were Australia, Canada, Japan, Mexico, the UK, and of course, right here in the United States.
If you're looking for more information on streaming media, which if you're listening to this broadcast, you probably more than likely are a streamie, go check out MeasureCast.com. Well, that'll do it for this week.
This is Web.Guys Radio.
And I'm Web Girl Dana.
And my name is Rob Greenlee, and we hope to have you back with us again next week. I'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.